I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is The Good Life. Food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Why, yes, it is. Good Life Guy coming to you live every Saturday from the Intercom Food, Wine, and Fun Studio. Hope you had a good week. Yes, we're all tired of it, but hang in there. If we lived out in the hills of western Massachusetts, we probably wouldn't have to worry as much. We're lucky we live here in the flatlands of Kansas where population density is not huge. There's some good news about that, but that's not what we're here to talk about, and that's not what you're here to hear. Every week it's about food and wine. Today is no exception. At the end of the program or in the second half, I'll tell you a little bit about Columbia Crest and in particular the Grand Estates tier of wines from this winery. I'll be doing my, the fifth or sixth one, virtual wine tasting this evening at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live. And it's a lot of fun for me, and it seems like a lot of folks enjoy it. I want to encourage you all to take pictures during your tasting and post them on my Facebook page. That's your challenge for today, and I'll remind you incessantly during the broadcast. Before we talk about the Berkshire's Farm Table Cookbook, let me tell you that it's about homegrown recipes from the New England hills, and more importantly, there's a lot of things in here that we here in the Flatlands have been talking about and that we have enjoyed for years, and that's farmers markets, farm to table, fresh quality products, whether they be hooved, feathered, or planted in the ground. And we have had some of the finest farmers markets, and even with this dreadful virus, still today, Old Town Farmers Market's open till 1. That's downtown on the plaza. The Kansas Grown Farmers Market is open. That's out on the west side at the Extension Center. And the Green Acres Farmers Market that used to meet on Wednesdays in front of Green Acres at 21st near Rock has moved to Wednesdays on the plaza in front of the train station. What's that called, Max? Union Station. I'll be okay. Who shouldn't know that? And then more importantly, and this was something that, you know, a lot of places have been hurt by the closures. And one of the most significant is music producers, performers, the people that make concerts happen, and the venues and where they occur. The Wave are private, excellent, and well-run concert venue, restaurant, entertainment venue. Adam Hartke's swung it around. He's made a place for farmers markets, and this was in the early days when the regular farmer markets were closed and they would deliver, and you could pick up, no-touch pickup, and all that kind of stuff. I think Adam's still doing that. Go to waveict.com. You order your products there. You can pick them up in the parking lot, or I think they may be doing booths at the place. But honestly, I forgot to check this morning. So there's still great opportunity to buy product fresh from the farm. And if you can buy things that didn't travel more than 10 or 12 miles by vehicle, life is good in your neighborhood. May not look as pretty, may not be wrapped in cellophane on a styrofoam tray, but it probably tastes better. That's my soapbox for today, and let's get to the Berkshire Irish Farm Table Cookbook. It's produced by my guests, Robert and Alyssa Bildner, and they're nice enough to join us today from Massachusetts. Bildners, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Guy. It's a pleasure.
And I have to say, Guy, that I think that you have probably, based on what you just read or said, more farmers markets open where you are than we have at this point here, where they're just really starting to slowly open. I know we know of a few open, but tough for the farmers.
Yeah, you know, it is good, and it's, you know, we've all seen pictures of huge producers throwing out tons of tomatoes and potatoes and corn and from all over the country, and it's just a terrible, sad thing. But our distribution system is not set up that way, and Robert, I know you can talk about that, and if I don't get to it, Robert, I want you to bring that up. But let's talk about you two as a happy married couple, and New Jersey and Massachusetts, and take us back and tell us the story. If you could paraphrase the entire three pages of the introduction, that would be beauty.
I'll let Rob do it one second. I just want to just say one thing. I'm also originally from, quote-unquote, as you described it, the Flatlands. So,
oh, cool.
Moved east. But anyway, Rob, go lunch.
Yeah, so we come from two parts of the East Coast. We raised our family in New Jersey, Guy, but we spent, I would say, the most important family time for over 35 years in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. And this is an area that touches on neighboring New York State, Vermont, Connecticut, and it's a beautiful hilly area with gorgeous scenery, lots of cultural places like Boston Symphony has an outdoor venue called Tanglewood, but it's also a food hub, and we have many really extraordinary small farmers, certainly much smaller compared to what you in Kansas are used to. We're talking about, you know, just a few acres, if that. But these are very conscientious farmers who care about sustainability. They work hard. They're very passionate about the environment. And they're really, really committed to producing some very tasty, healthy, locally grown food. So we came to this book, which we wrote over 4 years, but with through interviewing 42 of these farmers in this area and farm table chefs as well. I'm a photographer, so I did photography showing the beautiful countryside and the farms and the restaurants. And we have a collaborator who's a very well-known chef in our area. His name is Chef Brian Allbird, who created recipes emphasizing fresh ingredients, and they are inspired by the farms, what the farms grow, and we think they're really lovely recipes. We hope you and your listeners will have a chance to cook some of them. So we got into this because our son, our youngest son, his name is Rafi, like you, Guy, who's actually a pilot, and was became a pilot at a very early age. He's not flying right now, but he's still very active in the food business, like you as well. He's a pizziola. He's a wonderful baker and a pizza maker.
Wow.
And Rafi was farming our property in Western Mass, and he began selling in the local farmers markets, and we kind of trailed along with him and met some of these amazing farmers that we write about. And we just became so inspired by what they're doing that we decided we would write about them. And that's a journey, as I said, that's over 4 years, and we're happy to say the book is being released. It actually is being released on May 19th. It's available now, you know, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other places, local bookstores. It's the Berkshire's Farm Table Cookbook.
And I would just add briefly that the book is really two books in a way. It's a cookbook, certainly, of recipes inspired by the farmers, plus some recipes adapted from farm-to-table chefs in the area. And all the recipes are based on ingredients that are found in the farms that, you know, we looked at around this area. So there's the cookbook, and I want to say it's a very accessible cookbook because, again, the focus is on fresh ingredients, but it's also the story of small family farms, and it's a journalistic story as well. And it's a story that goes beyond the Berkshires. And for those who aren't familiar with the area, I know Rob described it a bit, but the story of these small family farms, are really, it's a story that's replicated across the country. Whether it's Kansas, and I know Kansas certainly has, you know, huge farms, particularly in the western part of the state, but everywhere there are small family farms, and they make up the bulk of, at least in terms of new numbers, the farms in this country, and this is their story.
You know, you guys, to me, reading your bios and doing a little research, we're just destined to do this book and more based on your backgrounds. Alyssa, yeah. You being a trained chef and both of you being attorneys, so you've been around the campus for a while and dealt with those kind of things. But, Robert, talk a little bit about the distribution system, because to me, to see those pictures that we saw on national news to make us feel bad and increase food scarcity, the pictures of dumped food. Tell us a little bit about the distribution business and the hows and whys of why family farms and small producers can really be should be the key.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I do come from a food family. I think I could be the fifth generation. We go back to the old country in the business. My grandparents started a supermarket chain on the East Coast, but I went into food distribution because I felt there were many local farmers, specialty farmers, produce, cheese makers who had wonderful products but couldn't find a way to get them to the market. So now it's almost 25 years ago, I started a food distribution company emphasizing those types of products, selling them to the supermarkets up and down the East Coast, and really helping the farmers to find a way to market their products. So, yes, I really have a pretty extensive background in distribution. And what struck me over time was, one, of course, how hard it is, frankly, to market the products of smaller farmers in the food distribution system. But as you say, there's a tremendous amount of waste that goes into the food distribution system, and it is fragile in a way. I mean, we would bring trucks from California to the East Coast, and frankly, from Washington and all over the country, to bring them into the supermarkets. Uses a lot of energy, you know, and we would fly products in from all over the world. And I think what I became aware of through our son and as we wrote this book is how important it is that we have local farmers in our communities who are, you know, we know them, they know us, they care about the environment, they're watching whatever types of, they're watching their soil, they're watching, you know, the types of substances they use, the pesticides and so forth. And they care about the community. And so by having farmers in our community during this time, when the food distribution system in many areas, like you say, is broken, frankly, the local farmers are really helping to feed our community. And in our area, as Lisa says, the food markets, the farmers markets, they're starting to open. We're going to see more of them. But a lot of our farms have community-supported agriculture, CSAs, where you can buy a share of the farm's produce and go and pick it up. And there are a lot of farms that have their own stores now. They're actually doing very well. And if it weren't for them, a lot of them raise meat, and so they're selling meat. I think a lot of folks would have trouble finding some of the products they need. So we're more convinced than ever that our mission of this book to promote local farming, know your farmer, we think it's more important than ever.
It's interesting, I'll just add that a lot of the farmers we spoke about the fact that they envision that down the road our food system is going to be increasingly, if not almost exclusively, regional. They really were very prescient given the pandemic virus stuff going on. But they really said the circumstances will change and we will absolutely need to depend on the regional food system more than ever. And of course we're seeing that now. I do want to add on the distribution front though that there is an issue, our farmers have spoken about this, especially when they're very small and they are literally, you have a couple or one or two or three, a family doing every job on the farm. Distribution is tough. I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about just generally. How do you get the products from these small farms to the supermarkets, to the restaurants? That in itself creates its own distribution issue. And we do have, there is at least one person in this area who's doing small farm distribution, but some farms are very small, and it's a tough problem for them.
You know, we've seen that here, and my dear friends that started the Old Town Farmers Market, they ran a CSA. That's when she was first on my radio show, and I'm talking back in 1990. And the Randless family have continued, and they retired from the farmers market, and they were doing quite well supplying some of our great restaurants. But even that then got so damaged by this chaos, and you know, but they're hanging, they're still working, and it's just an interesting concept. But
it is, and you know, when we wrote the book, obviously, where this is, you know, we finished it before the pandemic. But you know, people have been telling us how timely it is. One, the emphasizing locally grown food, finding ways to get it. We give many ways in our book of how you can find your locally grown, your farmers, how to find farmers markets and so forth. But it's also a cookbook, and so many people, obviously, everybody's cooking now. And we love to emphasize that this is a cookbook.
I know sometimes we get so passionate about the farmers because we spend so much time talking to them that we do forget this is a cookbook. And the reason that we did it was to, again, showcase the farmers' ingredients. And one of the things that I started to mention earlier that I do want to emphasize is that the food is, the recipes are really meant to be, and I use the word accessible before. These are not intricate recipes. They're pretty straightforward. There's a few, honestly, that aren't. I think they're flagged or whatever. But any dish in this book will come out phenomenally, particularly if you use fresh local ingredients.
Wow.
It's the key, you know, obviously the key to good cooking. Clearly, if you're living in a climate that doesn't have access to, you know, fresh local food year-round, it's a little tougher. And obviously, we're in the Northeast, so that it is an issue. And you can certainly cook any of these recipes year-round. But to take advantage when you can of what's available locally is terrific. And I do have to say one thing. Initially, our son, Rafi, who's actually a trained chef as well, and was the farmer who inspired us because we saw how hard it was for him to produce what he did. He would be talking about local years ago, and we would sit there and say, no, we're into organic and we're into whatever, and we were totally not conscious of the distance and the traveling, that the ingredients that we were all sometimes or maybe often opting for being shipped in. And so we've really changed our tune. Not to say that organic isn't important and how you treat the soil isn't important. It certainly is, but local is extraordinarily important. And I will say that of the farmers we interviewed, I can't think of one that isn't farming in, if not organic, because some of them have chosen not to go through organic certification, but in a sustainable way, which would be very, very similar. Again, focused on creating the best soil possible to produce the best food.
And they care, you know, they care. They care about the community, care about the soil. If they're raising animals, they care about their animals, you know. And it's very inspiring, Guy. We came away from this project big believers, and we talk about this wherever we go, and we do whatever we can to encourage people to buy locally grown foods.
Well, it's a great thing, and we got to take a break. Before we do, folks, go to goodlifeguy.com. There's links to everything that Robert and Alyssa are doing. Berkshiresandbeyond.com, that's their website. And I put a link to some of their YouTube videos that you can see firsthand what's going on out in the beautiful western part of Massachusetts. We'll be right back. More food, wine, and fun. A great wine of the week deal towards the end of the program. But we'll be back with Robert and Alyssa. The Bildner family is the power behind the Berkshires Farm Table Cookbook and some beautiful photography on top of that. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.